O Lord, be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and he asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 70 times, seven times. This is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with one of his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down and did him homage and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him his whole debt. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had that fellow servant put into prison until he paid back the whole debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and they went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant, as I had pity on you? And then in anger, he handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will it be with my heavenly Father, unless each of you forgives your brother from his heart. The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel dealing with forgiveness belongs to every one of us. In some way, we identify with the struggle to forgive. Forgiveness must come from deep inside ourselves, much more than words, much more than anything external. Since the wound is deep inside of us, the forgiveness must come from that same place, the place of the wound. And therefore, forgiveness has to be something life-altering. That's why Jesus says 70 times seven. It's not the number. The hyperbole is meant to emphasize the substance and the quality and the origins of the place of forgiving. And therefore, somehow, when we reflect on the invitation to forgive, we must reflect on humanity, our humanity, and the humanity to which we belong in families, in communities, and in society at large. So let me look at this understanding of humanity as the place of origin to fulfill the invitation to be a forgiving person. Teilhard de Chardin says this, by virtue of creation, and more so the incarnation, nothing here below is profane, for for those who have learned to see. And forgiving is seeing, seeing things in a new way. That's the venue in which forgiveness happens. So let me talk a little bit about this notion of humanity as the place of origin for forgiveness. In 1988, there was a film entitled City of Angels. Kevin Spacey played, and he and Meg Ryan were the principals in this movie. The movie is about an angel named Seth. Now, in the Bible, Seth is the third child of Adam and Eve. But in this story, Seth is an angel. And this angel has a very special mission. Seth wanders around Los Angeles, and his mission is to spend time with somebody who is dying, who is very close to death. And somehow on the threshold of death, Seth, an immortal angel, would appear in the flesh to accompany and support the person in the journey into the afterlife, a very noble cause. So Seth wandered around, fulfilling his mission to accompany those who were dying into the afterlife. And after that was complete, then he would become an angel again and would not be seen until his next encounter. On one occasion, Seth is in the hospital with this person who is dying, and he falls in love with this doctor, played by Meg Ryan, a beautiful young woman. He's madly in love with her. And as an immortal angel, he has never experienced the touch, the feel, the connection of human love. There's something extraordinary about that to Seth the angel. So he's allowed to make a decision. He can give up his immortality and embrace humanity, but in doing so, he will take on all of the blessings, but also all of the limitations of being human. He will age, and he will get sick, and he will die. So he's measuring, should he stay connected with his immortality as an angel, or should he become human and enter into a relationship with this beautiful young doctor played by Meg Ryan? Well, he weighs that. And of course, being a movie in Hollywood, he chooses Meg Ryan. I mean, he chooses to become human and to pursue the wonder and the beauty of being human. He exalts the idea of humanity over immortality. It's an interesting discussion about Seth the angel. You'll find the same thing, by the way, in Homer's Odyssey. Odysseus, coming home from the Trojan War, he's 21 years gone from his home now for the Trojan War, and on his way home, he's captured by Calypso. She's a nymph, she's an immortal person, and she captures him, and he stays on an island with her for 7 years. She's jealous because he is mortal and she is immortal. There's something about humanity that attracts her, and she's jealous because he has humanity, which she does not have. All of this is meant to remind us that humanity is the place of grace. That's the place where God meets us. It's the place of redemption. It's the place of meaning. It's the place of forgiveness. How to embrace our humanity, the broken, struggling, limited humanity, and say, this is holy ground. That's the invitation of this Word of God. Now, a number of writers, including Ronald Rollheiser, begins to discuss the difference between the humanity of Socrates and the humanity of Jesus. Neither one wrote anything in their life, and both were condemned to death. Socrates, 400 years before Christ, the father of all Western philosophy, an extraordinary, brilliant mind. And he was condemned to death, and he was given the opportunity to drink the hemlock, the poison that would kill him. And he approaches death cold, calculated, no tears, no anxiety. He's indifferent, no connection. And he takes the hemlock and finishes his life. Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's caught in a mental anguish. He's looking for his apostles to be with him. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? He is so distressed that it says an angel was sent to him to strengthen him. He's overcome with fear. His humanity is very dominant. And now he will go through his passion in loneliness, in rejection, with enormous suffering and enormous pain, carry his cross. And his humanity will be transparent in an exceptional way in his journey to death. And in his dying, he sanctifies humanity. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, he accepts the thief next to him into paradise. The thief does not repent. He just asks, and the forgiveness is given to him, and the glory of eternal life becomes his inheritance. In the 23rd chapter of Luke, Jesus forgives those who are crucifying him. And out of the fullness of his humanity, his divinity, he expresses this extraordinary forgiveness. It's coming somewhere deep inside of him, born out of his pain, his struggle, and his glory, the God-man dying on the cross. Therefore, what does this mean to us? It means that somehow our forgiveness must be born out of the experience we have in our humanity of being forgiven. Think of all the times we have been forgiven. And the forgiveness we pass on is merely the forgiveness we have received. The understanding, forgiving heart is frequently the heart who has known a wound that is healed. And this becomes a generous heart. To reflect on the ways in which we have been forgiven. Frederick Tennyson has this nice insight where he says, two old men who had been foes for life stood by a grave and wept, and their tears wiped away the strife of the years. And then they wept again for the years that were lost. At the grave, elderly They faced their humanity. They came to terms with their mortality. And they were empowered in this awareness to forgive the strife of the years. We learn here that the forgiveness which we share is merely the forgiveness we have received. Writing my journals this week, I had this kind of fantasy. My imagination carried me. And I thought, what if Holy Family only accepted recovering sinners? What would happen if we said, you can't belong to Holy Family unless you're a sinner recovering? And therefore, I mean serious sin now. I don't mean venial sin or trivial failures. I don't mean that. It's serious sin. I mean all those who are perfect and all those who have minor sins, you can go to the cathedral. But Holy Family is here only for recovering sinners. So when we all show up for Mass, I'm looking at Joe over there and I say, wow, I didn't know he was a recovering sinner. Isn't Mary Ann's over here? She's a recovering sinner. And we're saying, wow, hey, we're all sinners. We've all broken down. We've all made big mistakes. Perhaps if that's the way we saw ourselves, perhaps forgiveness would flow much easier. To say, hey, we're all sinners. And Holy Family is the church only for sinners who are endeavoring to recover. Therefore, when we all show up, and by the way, I wrote into my notes too, avoid the all-holy, perfect priest. He wouldn't fit at Holy Family. He's not real. Reflect on this gospel then. It speaks to us about our humanity. How blessed we are to be human. How blessed we are to be limited, to have boundaries. To fall in love, to fall out of love, to struggle, to search, and to believe deep and within us that in all of our humanity, we are embraced by the infinite love of God. Take a second look and remember all those in your life who have forgiven you, who have embraced you in your failings. Admired you when you were struggling, stood by you when you were in crisis, forgave you without condition. Wow. It's the meaning of the gospel. And only when you remember that will you be empowered to follow the invitation of Jesus Christ in this gospel, to forgive from deep inside yourself. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times, which is not a number. It represents the quality of our forgiveness. Oh, life. Life is so much better when we listen to the Word of God and let the power of the forgiving Jesus Christ in the 23rd chapter of Luke's gospel, to meet this forgiving Christ, then we are empowered to be forgiving people. Then we will understand what it means to belong to a church of sinners. Amen.